Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. It's your free throws because they're free. Little instant reaction, something we discussed doing the other day. You know, if you see something in sports, you say something type thing. And I saw my Boston Celtics go to the defending champ's house, the Denver Nuggets, and lose in a heartbreaker, a game that we thought was done at 101-91. The Celtics come back, get it within two. They get a steal turnover going the other way, ball under the basket. It's moved around between Tatum, White, Brown. They get it to Tatum in the corner, who misses a go-ahead three. Personally, the old school in me wanted them to take the 2 points, or try to at least, and get the game tied. I would say even try to get to the line when we could get to that, no pun intended. But the Celtics shot pitifully, particularly Jaylen Brown, who had a really nice, amazing game otherwise, 41 and 14, 7 of 14 from the line. So going to the line and trying to get to the line at the end of the game to get those 2 points was not a gimme. It was not in the Celtics bingo card tonight in Denver. But it was poetic and daunting. An Edgar Allan Poe poem for the Celtics to go to the defending champ's house a game that people are saying in March, with both teams healthy, this is a real glimpse at what the NBA Finals can be this summer. Celtics versus the defending champions. And Tatum just was nowhere to be found. Forget not hitting the game-winning shot, or what could have maybe been the game-winning shot, right? I mean, look, it is Denver. Murray's really great, had a strong game. Aaron Gordon slamming the ball, Jokic finding him, putback slams, dump slams, just across the board. The Celtics really didn't have an answer for him at points. Jokic had his fingerprints once again throughout the entire game. It really felt like Jaylen Brown's show. Jason Tatum was, again, just not potent enough for the Celtics team to overcome the Denver Nuggets. At the end of the game, he had some free throws, but it was Holiday and Porzingis who hit shots. I mean, Holiday hit a big shot, man. Like, Holiday, and we say this all the time, Holiday and Porzingis are such strong additions for the Boston Celtics. And Porzingis had a really good game. I mean, look, they do not have a prayer against the Nuggets without Porzingis in the NBA Finals. He is a must need. But this Nuggets team, man, they're going to be tough to beat. They just have the experience. They have the health. Peyton Watson, such a revelation for them. Really interesting pick. Didn't really produce at UCLA. Was picked at the back end of the first round. He's a strong player. Really good development. Shouldn't be surprised from Denver. Obviously, the Boston bench doesn't really do much. But again, like, outside of Watson, the Denver bench wasn't lighting it up either. It really came down to the starters, which is what you'll see come playoff time and come, you know, the NBA Finals, barring these two teams make it. It was just 15-8. Eight assists from Tatum is nice. And on 13 shots, 5 of 13. If you're playing, and I get other guys like Jaylen Brown and Porzingis are going and cooking. I mean, Porzingis didn't shoot super efficiently. 3 of 10 from 3, 9 of 23 from the entire field. Not great. Not writing home about that. The Celtics as a team shot under 30% from 3, which has been a big concern of mine, quite frankly, for this Boston squad. It is so live and die. People don't really think of the Boston Celtics when you look at the personnel, right? And when you look at the other teams in the league, people don't necessarily view them as the team that are live and die by the three, but they shoot more threes than everybody. They are the team that lives and dies by the three-point shot. And tonight they died by it.
11 of 38, and I get you're down. I mean, and look, to Boston's defensive credit, they're an unbelievably strong defensive team. Denver shot piss poor from behind the arc, 4 of 21, under 20%. But that's still a 17-shot difference. They found buckets other ways, and they were leading at points of the game, especially late, so your offense is obviously looking different. But it was just so disheartening and so like, oh, man, are we about to see this come June, Tatum, end of the game, lose it on the potential game-winning three? It was just so, ooh, like eerie. Like, am I going to have deja vu down the line type thing? Like, is deja vu coming? I don't, pre-ja vu. I don't know what they call that. And if the C's didn't blow that game against the Donovan Mitchell-less Cavs, like if Dean Wade didn't put the Celtics on skates last game and they blow that against Cleveland, look, you go to Denver, this game feels completely different. And again, it's only March, and you're taking take your lumps now. And well, how many did they win in a row before that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, including an absolute decimation. That's the irony of the whole thing. They go from decimation to Golden State. They're beating the crap out of the Cavs. They blow the lead to the Cavs, and then they come into Denver. It's that's just like not what you want. If you want to ride that 12 game, what would have been a 12 game win streak and a gimme game against Denver. I'm not saying get caught looking at Denver. Could be the case. And your superstar, a guy that we're like, oh, well, you know, plus 5,000 MVP candidate. If they give the Celtics, you know, build up a lead of 10 plus games, they go over 65 games. Tatum catches fire like he typically does in the second half. Jason Tatum can be the MVP of the National Basketball League. It's not going to happen. That doesn't, you can't win the MVP award that way. Not even close, quite frankly. Like, that is such a massive massive moment. You have to hit that shot. It's so much pressure. It's one game in March. Nonetheless, though, if you are the best team and you are the best player and you're going into a Lions den like that in a game that like is, yeah, I said it's March, but is super meaningful in terms of like, hey, again, like, you know, to beat the dead horse, is this what we're going to see at the end of the season when East meets West in the NBA finals? You gotta hit that shot. And it just feels like more often than not doesn't hit that shot and doesn't get that done. I was talking to a Boston buddy who was watching the first half with me, and it just feels like he's close to that tier of guys, like that next tier up. He's in second tier, Jason Tatum, and he's busting on the ceiling, but it's just not there for some reason. And that moment, watching it go down, exemplify that. Like if I'm – I mean, I know Steph Curry's the best, right? But – let's match him up against the best three-point shooter. If the Warriors are juggling that ball under the rim, right, there's a couple of them down there, and I see Steph in the corner wide open, ready to grip it and rip it. More often than not, I'm feeling pretty good. It's not a gimme shot. It's not a 50-plus percent shot necessarily, but I'm glad I have Steph Curry. I'm glad that's the shot that's happening, and I want that more than anything else those other two guys below the rim can produce. I see that ball get kicked to Jason Tatum in the corner, and I'm like, all right, is this what we want to do? Like I said it at the beginning of the, you know, this little mini show. Like, I was nervous when the ball went there. I wasn't happy. My gut didn't want that Jason Tatum open corner three to win the game or take the lead in the game. There was time left. So the Celtics don't have a problem, right? I mean, they're in first place by a country mile. They played unbelievable basketball. Two tough losses. One, again, on the road against the defending champs. You lose the series. You get swept in the series, season series by the Nuggets. You pick up next game, and you got – you're at Phoenix on Saturday, and then you got what should be a gimme game against the Blazers, a gimme game against the Jazz, home against Phoenix, gimme against Washington – and then home against Pistons. I mean, though, not outside of the two Suns games, pretty much layup lines going forward. And no offense to the Jazz, who have some fine players, but they're not in that. They shouldn't be in that competitive speed with the Celtics. It's just really tough. They're having a really strong regular season, but when push comes to shove, aside from health, like there needs to be a point in time where Jason Tatum becomes that alpha. And not just an alpha. And look, he had that in game 7 against the 76ers last year. And that was phenomenal. Like, he put them down, right? Like the 76ers had the Boston Celtics. They lose game six, and Jason Tatum comes in game seven, and he does the alpha male thing. Only to lose to a Heat team. They were better then. And I know the Heat take down the Knicks and Giannis and the Bucks, who had injuries. But the Celtics were better than the Miami Heat. And if you're an alpha, you don't lose that. Right? There were times, I don't know, I could be mixing up teams and dates, but I feel like there were times, at least in the 2000s, right, when you had Kobe Brown and the Lakers. And there were certain teams, you know, like a better example, right? Sorry. LeBron in Cleveland, his second stint in Cleveland. The Raptors with Lowry and DeRozan. I love DeRozan. Hall of Fame basketball player. The alpha LeBron is not losing that series. I don't care if every game is played in Toronto. He's not. I'm picking the Cavs. And again, we're talking about one of the, maybe probably the greatest player of all time, and LeBron James. But I'm just talking about that alpha. And I think Tatum is just, and I said it during the game to the guy I was watching with. I was like, he's just missing a little something to, and because he hasn't gotten it done. So I don't think I'm leaning on the side that he's not able to necessarily get it done until he does. It's prove it league, right? But it feels like there's just something missing, a little alpha edge. He's a phenomenal player, all-star, all-NBA player, deserves to be in that top 10 MVP race, wish he deserved, and he should be mentioned in the top five, but he's just not that Jokic level yet, that Giannis level yet. Might not be Shea, you know, and then that's not even including the older statesmen of KD, Kawhi, LeBron James, and Steph Curry, so... Disappointing loss for Boston. Not upsetting because, again, it's Denver. And I feel like weirdly Denver's being taken kind of lightly. They're a game back, and it's all Wolves, Thunder, Ant-Man, SG. And I'm happy about that. Young faces of the NBA, really exciting guards. The Nuggets are knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. And they could easily, and probably I'm going to bet on them, to be the one seed out of the Western Conference. Come playoff time and everything rolling through Denver, it's a very scary thought. They are a well-oiled machine with a lot of players that can beat you a lot of different ways. So disappointing loss, not surprising. Celtics got to pick it back up. That's the gut check reaction. Hit your free throws because they're free. We out you. We love you.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.